All right, welcome back. Hour number three, and we're going to talk to Father Paul Kramer again. He's in Ireland, and we have been watching through his good graces and his opinion, his evaluations, the terrible, tragic takedown and overthrow of the Vatican and the overall structure of the Catholic Church. And this is all going to, at some time, even out and reverse. We can't wait for that. The fraud pope in there, Bergoglio now, continues to do things that are just anathema to what the Catholic Church has always stood for two millennia. It's crazy out there. More things going on. We'll find out now from Father Kramer. Welcome back. Glad to have you on. Thank you for being here.
I'm great to be back. And the Vatican has become the headquarters of a revolution against Catholicism, against the Catholic religion, against Christianity as such. And the ringleader of this gang of pirates is a man by the name of Jorge Bergoglio. He calls himself Francis. Some bishops are waking up. Archbishop Vigano, for example, has has denounced this man as an anti-pope, as a fraud, right. As a fake pope. A few other bishops have done the same. Notably, I'm trying to think of his name. The bishop who was of Tyler, Texas.
I can't remember his name either, but he said some very good things, very strong.
He's come out and he has said that he's asked a question rhetorically. What do we have to do to wake up the bishops to understand that this man does not represent Catholicism? Now, that's a very important thing because, as Pope Gregory XVI pointed out, if the ideology of the Pope, the mentality of the Pope, is contrary to the beliefs of the Church, he's incapable of representing the Church. He's not a true Pope. And that is exactly what we have in the case of Bergoglio. Bergoglio is especially, that was Bishop Strickland.
Joseph Strickland. Yeah. He was kicked out of office by the fake Pope for his efforts to tell the truth.
And Bergoglio is doing that with any other bishop who dares oppose him in any manner.
So it's a tyranny of fear is being perpetrated now all around the church. You mouth off and you're out.
I call it a reign of terror. And Bergoglio he's becoming unhinged. He's saying that the traditionally minded Catholics are mentally imbalanced. He forgets that he lives in a glass house and he wants to throw the stones. It was the members of his own Jesuit order who pointed out that this man has some mental problems of his own mental issues of his own. So I think he's not only lost his mind, but he's lost all sense of prudence. He inverts the truth. Like I pointed out before, those Catholics who are very concerned about the deviation from the dogmas of faith, that's the very foundation of what we believe, the profession of faith, the articles of faith.
Right.
And to say that somebody who's concerned about deviation from the dogma of faith is a Gnostic, this is beyond absurd. But that's what Bergoglio said. And now Bergoglio is saying, like, this is about as rich as it gets. Bergoglio, who's pushing this United Nations agenda, this Agenda 2030, is a totally this globalist, materialist, paganized global agenda. Globalist ideology, the globalist ideology. this man is saying, Bergoglio is saying, that the traditionally minded Catholics are promoting a worldly ideology.
The globalist pagan ideology is exactly what it is. This is really, it's almost overwhelming to contemplate. I don't know how you can deal with this, having spent your entire adult mental and emotional commitment in the church and seeing this happen. Wow. It's good to see other bishops. Maybe if hundreds of bishops get thrown out by the fraud and gang up on him, work together to create an alternate, could that happen? An alternate Catholic movement called Real Catholicism or the Real Church or something? You know, War of the Churches.
That is in the making, and that's going to happen. It's beginning to materialize already. We're seeing the beginnings of it.
Good.
There are enough bishops who are starting to wake up. Catholics.
I remember asking you about that long ago. I said, there's going to have to be an uprising, and they're going to have to do it together. And that's taken time, because they realize they're going to get what Strickland got, which is the door. All right.
Well, the more radical it gets, the more Catholics wake up to see that this man does not represent Catholicism. He represents what opposes, absolutely what is contrary to Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've mentioned this before. He's made a change in canon law so that any person in the church can exercise ecclesiastical jurisdiction. I mentioned this in the first volume of the two volumes I've written, two volumes of a three-volume work.
Uh-huh.
But now we see him implementing. He's implementing the revolution that took place at the synod. Now he's implementing it, and he has named a woman as the prefect of the sacred, what used to be called the Sacred Congregation for Religious. I think they call it the Dicastery for Consecrated Life or something like that now. But the official name given by a true pope is the Sacred Congregation for Religious, so that's what I still call it.
Okay.
He put a woman in charge. He put a woman in charge of this dicastery, and the second in command, this is completely anomalous, is a pro prefect. Now, a pro prefect is supposed to be an acting prefect. You can't have a pro prefect and a prefect. Now, the thing is this. To have a bishop or a cardinal, archbishop, cardinal, pro-prefect, and a non-ordained female prefect, that would be like if in the Second World War, if the Supreme Allied Commander, the Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces were a female buck private, and the second in command would be General Eisenhower. Could you imagine such a thing?
No, but I'm no big fan of Eisenhower, so let me be clear about that. Yes, I get it. It's a good analogy.
I don't care who it is in charge.
No, your point is well taken. Absolutely.
If you have a four-star general who was supposed to be the supreme commander, and you make him second in command, and you put a female buck private over him. That's an insane, absurd inversion. And that's what Bergoglio has done. So over all of the religious orders of the church, the prefect in charge is a woman who has no rank at all.
Mm-hmm.
Incapable of holding rank.
Kind of like the Los Angeles Fire Department. The top three in the department now are lesbians, all named Kristen. Figure that one out. Yeah. So, anyway, what a disaster. It's DEI doesn't work. DEI, and when you walk away from a meritocracy as a society, you're going to die. As a society, if people are not rewarded according to their merit or their beliefs or whatever the particular ingredients are in that appointment, they have. We do not have a meritocracy here. I don't know how it was when you look back at the church. How was it so easily, seemingly, relatively, taken over by evil? How did the devil get in and take charge of it without a big uproar, an appropriate uproar? It just kind of happened.
They did it by by gaining control of the papacy, by basically overthrowing the papacy, by exerting such an influence to get their own people in to be made pope.
Well, when they locked up Benedict, it kind of, that was a major, that was the big turning point, I think, when they successfully overthrew Benedict and locked him up.
Well, that was the final nail in the coffin, because this started already with the death of Pope Pius XII. I remember reading the story about the one who was put in charge of the Catechetical Institute. That was the Catechetical Institute was started by Pope Pius XII, and he put an Australian woman by the name of Rosemary Goldie in charge. And right. She had a worker. A member of her staff was a German woman named Frau Gerstner. And Pius XII was dying, and Frau Gerstner was concerned about what's going to happen to the church after Pope Pius XII dies. So she said to Rosemary Goldie, the head honcho in charge of the Catechetical Institute, said, "What's going to happen to our church after the Holy Father dies, Pius XII?" And she says, "Oh, haven't you heard? After Pius XII, there's going to be Roncalli, and after him will be Montini." And this is what she said to him. She said to her, "Now." So Pius XII was still alive and breathing, and Rosemary Goldie already had heard from the grapevine that Roncalli, who became John XXIII, would be the next pope, and after him would be Montini, who became Pope Paul VI.
Huh. Well, that's control.
And the Masonic agenda entered the church through these men. And Paul VI, somewhat unwittingly, bewildered in his famous speech he gave, I think, at the Lombard College, about the smoke of Satan having entered the church from some fissure. Well, it wasn't very mysterious how the smoke of Satan entered the church. Well, John XXIII said he was going to open the windows and let in some fresh air. Well, what he let in was the smoke of Satan.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So Bergoglio, with his in his counterfeit papacy, and his now his counterfeit church, has canonized counterfeit saints, John XXIII and Paul VI, In the synodal church, they call them St. John the 23rd and St. Paul the 6th. And I do not refer to them as that. I do not consider them to be saints, especially Paul the 6th.
Well, you've watched. So if we look back over our shoulders, when did the first obvious overt signs of a takeover and an overthrow and the elevation of paganism begin to show at the higher levels, the highest levels of the church? When did that begin? How long has it taken them to pull off this overthrow, approximately?
Well, it's something that has taken place. It's happened by degree. We already saw this happening in the 1960s, but it wasn't like a complete takeover until Bergoglio became...
I'm not in it, but when he came on the scene and got rid of whoever got rid of Benedict, that was an obvious overthrow to me. Geopolitically, religiously, doesn't matter. Administratively, hierarchically, it was an overthrow. But you'd seen signs long before that, though. That's the way communism works. It just... It manifests and it grows and metastasizes all over the place. It's like a cancer.
The late secretary of the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship was a man from northern Italy by the name of Monsignor Mario Marini. Now, I knew him from 1974 until his death in 2009. And he told me, in 2008, our hands are tied. We can do nothing because it is we are under Masonic occupation. A few years earlier, he said our hands are tied because Masons hold the key positions. So this was already around the turn of the century, around I think 1996. He told me it is Masons who occupy the key positions, and it was in 2008. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
October 2008, he told me, we are under Masonic occupation. And that explains why both Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI complained that they could not exercise their power as they willed because they had so much opposition inside the Vatican. They were opposed by their own underlings so forcefully that even the popes, their hands were tied. And what made matters worse was they themselves were confused by the propagandistic progressive theology that Freemasonry was promoting. So they were unwittingly promoting an agenda that they were in their heart opposed to. And the medicine that they prescribed to cure the illness was in fact the poison that's poisoning the church.
Right. Okay, look, we know where we are. We're beginning to see, and I call it an uprising of the bishops, perhaps. This is good. I know. I wouldn't expect you to disclose anything of any sensitivity, but I hope this is all being drawn up by somebody, planned, and the word is getting out that it's time to establish the real church in the face of this fraud again, in a cohesive, meticulously contrived and conceived fashion. It's got to be done right, and inviting the faithful to join the new church, the real church, to go back to the values of honest Catholicism. I hope that's going on, but don't give anything up. It's just, I would imagine it is. You got some very smart people there that are going to stand up before this is all over.
This kind of thing has happened so many times, but never like this time. This time is worse because you've never had like I say, this is the fulfillment of an apocalyptic scriptural prophecy in the Book of Lamentation, where it says that all the kings of the world and all the people of the earth couldn't believe that the adversary and enemy has entered in through the gates of Jerusalem. This is the infiltration of the Vatican, the complete takeover of the infrastructure that governs the church, and has with the counterfeit hierarchy. They have set up a counterfeit hierarchy, and there are so many who of the bishops who are still Catholic, but who are too obtuse to understand that these are not just confused leaders; that these are the enemy. This is like if the grandson of Stalin had a fake passport and became president of the United States, he'd be a fake president because he wouldn't even be a citizen. He'd be a Soviet, communist. So you would just have to. It doesn't matter if he's been elected according to the election laws. When you find out that he's a Soviet citizen, you throw him out. This is the mental disease of so many Catholics is legalism. They'll say, well, he's a legitimate pope. He was elected by a conclave of the cardinals. And just about every anti-pope was elected by a conclave of the cardinals. That doesn't make that doesn't guarantee that the pope is a legitimate, valid pope. The mere fact that he's been elected by the cardinals.
Got it.
And you have the doctors of the church and you have popes teaching on this point. That if the man is opposed to the Catholic faith, if he's a heretic, if he represents everything that's opposed to Catholicism, he is not a pope. He's an alien. He's an enemy. And in the words of Pope Innocent III, he's to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. Because even though a pope cannot be judged by men, but such a heretic can be judged by men because he has already been judged by God. This is the church's teaching. That's a papal teaching of Pope Innocent III. And so these people who are saying, well, he's been elected by a conclave, that makes him a valid pope. No, it does not. Not according to Catholic teaching. Not even according to Catholic law, Catholic canon law. According to canon law, if a person is openly and publicly a heretic, openly and publicly opposed to the Catholic faith, that person loses office automatically, ipso facto, by force of the law itself, he's out. And this is backed up by centuries of canonical tradition going back to the 12th century. Ugucho of Pisa, who was the canon law professor, teacher of the man who became Pope Innocent III. So that's the church's teaching on the point. And this is what Catholics have to understand. This man, Bergoglio, is no pope. He is the founder of a false new religion, a false counterfeit church. Exactly as is foretold in the Third Secret of Fatima, the Third Secret of Fatima, revealed by a canonized saint, Padre Pio, Saint Pio of Pietrelcina. And he revealed this to Father Gabriele Amorth, that in the Third Secret reveals that Satan has entered the bosom of the church, and he said soon he will be at the head of a counterfeit church. And that counterfeit church is the Synodal Church. The Synodal Church, which is a church that has completely inverted the power structure of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is founded on the Apostolic See, which is upon the rock of Peter as the foundation of the unity of the church. The faith and governance and the worship of the church is all founded. The principle of unity is the primacy of the true pope, who is, as a successor of Peter, holds the whole church in unity to the apostolic tradition. And Bergoglio refers to all those Catholics who adhere to this principle, this dogmatic principle of tradition and unity in the Catholic faith. He says that they are mentally imbalanced, that they are promoting a worldly ideology. And yet it is Bergoglio himself who is promoting the most perverse worldly ideology, which is the United Nations pagan agenda, the one world religion.
It's really mind-boggling when you think how big the church is. But what you're saying about past attempts to take control of the church by usurpers and phonies and things, that's interesting. People don't know much about that. How many times has this happened? Many over the millennia? We've got 2,000 years.
It's happened a good number of times. There's been something, and not always trying to destroy the church, but just some ambitious
ego. Big ego, ambitious ego.
That who wanted to take over the papacy, or for they were political pawns of the potentates in power, who they wanted to have installed as popes so they could have the papacy in their pocket.
Got it.
But it's happened a good number of times. Some famous cases like anti-pope Anacletus II back in the 1100s, in the 1130s, Anacletus II was elected by a conclave of cardinals. He was an anti-pope. Later in the day, a group of six cardinals elected Pope Innocent II.
Well, the I like that name, don't you? I mean, I like that. Pope Innocent, I like that. Sounds proper.
The vast majority of cardinals elected the anti-pope, Anacletus II.
Didn't they know? Were they ignorant when they did this?
No, they were corrupted. He had a lot of Jewish money. He was of Jewish ancestry.
There it is again, everyone. It's the same group, always behind all powerful choke points on the planet. They're always involved one way or the other. It's just true. It's the truth. Very interesting.
And I quoted the what St. Bernard of Clairvaux had said about him. He upheld the legitimacy of Pope Innocent II. He said words to the effect that even Anacletus, even his friends, don't speak well of him. And that was Cardinal Pierroni, who took the name of Anacletus II when he was elected anti-pope by the vast majority of the
Excuse me, Father Kramer. How do you spell Anacletus? Anacletus?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Anacletus II.
Yeah. So this is very interesting. Jewish influence over the church at the highest levels. With that, what don't they influence?
As I say, there's the old saying, the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Wow.
Bergoglio is just, he's frothing at the mouth. He's just exploding against the traditional Catholics because he can't stamp them out. He wants to stamp them out, and he can't.
1.3 billion. It's a lot of stamping to do. You know, they listen to this program. They monitor it. They know exactly what's going on here. They know that we know. They're watching to see how much this knowledge that you're presenting, that we're presenting, is spreading around. And I'm very encouraged to hear that more and more bishops are willing to just stand on the truth, put it on the line. And that's your highest calling, isn't it? As a human being, to stand on the truth, not cater or cave into or otherwise acquiesce to evil, which is what we're seeing happening. We can't do that. And if every bishop out there had to lose his position, so be it. He would go out a hero, at least. And if the quality of people is there, and I'm sure it is, and I don't know what to call it, an alternate church, whatever you want to call it, a real church will be formed and the faithful will be invited to migrate to it. And I'll bet you most of them will.
It's becoming obvious, more and more obvious every day, but it's going to become so obvious when they institute something, a counterfeit mass, which will be just a diabolical parody of the mass.
It could have drums and electric guitars with it. Who knows?
It will be an open mockery of the mass. Yeah. We see some of this taking place by private initiative, but it will be the Vatican that's going to give the stamp of approval to a diabolical mockery of the Mass. And that, I think, will finally open the eyes of Catholics to understand that that is a counterfeit, fake papacy, a fake hierarchy, a fake Roman Curia. That is, it's not the Catholic Church. They will see that, and that is finally when the connection will be made in the minds of the Catholic people, and then you will have a cohesive opposition against either this man Bergoglio or his successor and all of their gang. That's going to happen very soon, probably later this year, I think.
Well, if you're looking, if you want any kind of support from this international platform, you've got it. You know that. I'll do everything I can to help when that time comes. It's wrong. It's disgusting to see this. It's worse than that.
So Bergoglio is thundering against the traditional Catholics because they are the ones who uphold the faith that he wants to destroy.
Very good.
The religion he wants to destroy.
Sure. Of course he does. It's his commission to do that. He apparently just published his autobiography this past week. I got a note on that. I'm sure it'll be a bestseller. Who cares? Anyway, the guy's just dreadful. And I'm still going to say that Fernandez bothers me. That guy is trouble. And that's my view.
Yes. But almost all of the, even some of the ones who are not nearly as bad as Fernandez are bad enough.
Right.
So... I'm not optimistic about a single individual being elected that will have the Catholic faith and restore some sanity to the Catholic Church. No, they're going
and
to
the
be
problem,
a parallel church.
The problem, Father Kramer, is it not that the electors are now basically corrupt? I think you've mentioned that before.
That's right. Because Bergoglio has... Made so many of his own counterfeit cardinals and clones of himself for the most part.
But
Pope Benedict rather pointedly but cryptically indicated what is the situation in the church when he called attention to an article he had written decades earlier about. An early theologian called by the name of Tychonius. And Tychonius was, in fact, himself a heretic, but he had one idea that was so overwhelmingly spot on that Pope Benedict pointed that out, that the idea that these heretics that are hiding inside the church, that have infiltrated inside the church, that when they come out and reveal themselves for what they are, that is when they actually leave the church and they become a separate church by that very act of coming out and showing their true colors. When they're showing their true colors, they effectively and truly leave the church, and they are now forming a different church. And Bergoglio said his synodal church will be a different church. Well, that's something that's still, unfortunately for most Catholics, something that's still hidden in plain sight, because it's not really hidden at all. It is a different church. It is not the Catholic Church. It is a different church. It has an inverted structure. It is not constituted according to the divine constitution, the apostolic hierarchical constitution of the Catholic Church. It is an inversion of that. that Bergoglio has brought about, so that instead of the papacy being the rock foundation for the unity of the faith, now you have every kind of mad, insane opinion coming from the lowest levels, filtering their way up, and they get a rubber stamp from the fake popes. And every false idea is now getting the stamp of approval, and it gains cohesive force as they coalesce together and form a false new religion. And this is what Pope Pius X warned about more than 100 years ago, when he warned about the movement that will bring about the one world religion.
Well, not good. Not good. I got another note here when I suggested that by way of tarnishing the mass and all, I said they might use guitars and drums, and somebody wrote in and said that they already, Jeff, they already have guitars and drums at mass. All right, well,
they've been doing that since the 1960s. They've been doing that since the 1960s.
Yeah, that
but
should
even
not be.
Using guitars and drums, they still used the words of consecration instituted by Jesus Christ.
Right.
But Bergoglio's people have been preparing for, and they have already brought in this Mayan liturgy. They're changing the mass into something, paganizing it to the point that you won't even have any semblance of the sacrifice of Christ on the altar. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the altar of God of Christ's sacrifice is going to be replaced with a pagan altar with pagan sacrifice. That's what they are planning to do.
That's the best word to use, Father Kramer. Paganizing the church. That's the key word, paganizing it. That's what they're doing. It couldn't be spoken more clearly than that word.
And Bergoglio's Sickening. Plan is with synodalism is to take it from the peripheries and to give it the stamp of approval from the Vatican. And this has been going on for a long time. I knew a man by the name of Victor Kulandai. That was his pen name.
Mm-hmm.
I think his actual birth name was Swami Kulande Swami. He's from India, he wrote a book called "The Paganization of the Church in India," and he described this Indian mass that had been proposed, and eventually some form of it had been approved, but what was first proposed was a complete paganization of the mass that they were trying to push in India, and they were implementing it on an experimental level, and the Catholics were greatly scandalized by it. The Hindus were enraged because it was imitating some Hindu rites, and the Hindus took great offense that they would be mimicked by the so-called Catholics. That's how long this has been going on. And I did have a copy of that book. I don't have it with me here in Ireland. But, I knew Victor personally. When I visited him at his house in Chennai, mm-hmm. He gave me a copy of his book, and I read it very carefully. And, yes, indeed, there was a paganization of the mass that was being attempted to carry that out long ago. I visited him back in, what was it, 1992 is when he gave me the book. So that's how long this has been, this the paganization of the mass has been going on for that long of a time now.
Well, how interesting. Well, cancer silently grows. It doesn't always make its presence known easily. It takes time to see it. We see it now. Are you getting any response? When I say you, I'm including everyone who is on this side of the issue. From the masses, are the masses beginning to write in to all members, whatever level they may be at, to tell them they're not happy with the direction, the pagan direction that the church is being taken? Is there any noise of an uprising that you're hearing about from the rank and file faithful, so to speak? I know that the bishops, some of the bishops are not happy, like Vigano, for example.
Unfortunately, Bergoglio is in charge of appointing bishops in the diocese. And so when the faithful Catholics speak out, they're just slapped down by these. They're ignored.
Is he excommunicated, slapped down?
They're not even considered dangerous enough to be excommunicated for the most part. They're simply shooed away. Ignored. Right. They're just ignored.
Well, really, the whole thing is, as you've said, there have been other attempts before, but nothing like this. This is the big one. Yes, this is it.
Absolutely.
And you got the globalists, the Masons, the Jews, they're behind it all. And they're going to, it's like they've overthrown this country. We've every conceivable central nexus of power that I can think of has been taken over by Jews. It's what they do. And they're very smart about it. Very smart. So taking down the Catholic Church, not a hard task, I wouldn't think, given enough time and the finances and the will to do it. And how they operate, of course, as you well know, is often through blackmail and extortion, bribery. It doesn't matter. It's all relating usually to money, sooner or later, somehow. And then just brute threats on top of that. So it's a very difficult situation. Go ahead.
All these delirious people in the world who are so enthralled with this pagan agenda, because it promises them what they want. It gives them what they want. Like Al Capone said, why am I so popular when President Hoover was booed in Chicago at the stadium, and then when they announced the presence of Al Capone, everyone cheered. And he said, "Look, I'm more popular than the president." He says, "Because I give people what they want," and that you have so many paganized, corrupted people in the world who are so enthralled with this pagan agenda, this left wing agenda, which is in church and state, in the United Nations, all acting in unison to bring about this one world order, which is paganism, which is a total inversion of the social order to put evil in the place of good. These people have no understanding what's coming because they have no faith. Without faith, they can't understand anything. And without faith, they don't understand, like I mentioned before, the second book of Samuel, chapter 22, where God announces so long in advance how he's going to shake the world to its foundations. He's going to cleanse the earth of all this filth. And he's going to restore the law of God over the nations. And he's going to do that by bringing about something seemingly impossible, because it will appear, as Cardinal Henry Edward Manning said, it will appear that the church has been swept from the face of the earth. But God,
quite a statement.
is through the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, promised by Our Lady of Fatima, that God is going to restore his church. He's going to restore the church. He's going to restore faith. He's going to restore the apostolic tradition. The law of God, the rule of law in the world, according to a truly Christian social order, will be brought about. And all this paganism and communism will be so forgotten. It will be so utterly crushed. All this devilry will be so totally crushed and annihilated that it will be forgotten.
When was this first written like that?
And it was a Jesuit piece by the name of Father Stefano Scorza, who...
When was that written, the part that you quoted there? When was that first talked about, that this heretical movement to overthrow the church will be dealt with completely, and it will be completely vaporized, gone? When was that first talked about or prophesied? Is that a prophecy?
Well, I'm going back to the Old Testament here, the second book of Samuel, chapter 22. That's how long ago this has been prophesied. And the magnitude of events, the greater the magnitude of an event, the longer in advance it is foretold. This has been foretold well over 2,000 years ago. Samuel, this is like 3,000 years ago. Samuel, you're going back to the days of Samuel.
Got it. All right, well, these are extraordinary times we're facing. And I don't know. I hope things happen the way that they appear to be logically going to evolve into, and there's a complete rejection of this madness, this evil by the people, the rank and file. I don't know if the rank and file can go through their local church branch, their local church, and make their views known to the Vatican. I'm not sure the local people would transmit the information to the Vatican. They, out of fear of losing their positions. Don't know. I wish we had a way to measure. Go ahead.
It's not going to happen peacefully. And like I mentioned in a message I sent you, the Greek Orthodox priest, the Greek Orthodox Church actually canonized this man. He died in 1994. Saint Paisios, the Athonite, he's from the monastery on Mount Athos. He foretold the coming of the Third World War, and interestingly, at the time when he was still alive, Erdogan was the mayor of Istanbul.
Come a long way.
He said this mayor, when he becomes president, he's going to maintain peace with Greece. But after he's replaced, the next one is going to wage war against Greece. The next one will wage war against Greece. He said, when the Russians attempt to, the Turks are going to close the strait, the Bosphorus Straits. And when the Bosphorus is closed, the Russians will attempt to cross. And when the Turks fire on the Russians, that will be basically what's going to cause the outbreak of the Third World War. He goes into great detail in his prophecy. Mm-hmm. Oh. He takes seriously the prophecy because he, who died in 1994, he said that in the year that the Hagia Sophia Cathedral, when that is turned into a mosque, that same year there will be a manufactured illness, and they will try to force people to take a vaccine. Now, it just so happened that in the year that Erdogan's government decreed that Hagia Sophia, which had been turned into a museum, to be converted into a mosque. That was in the year, that was in July of 2020.
Wow.
So we see
we've seen
how
it.
Accurate.
All right. Yeah. That's quite remarkable. All right.
And that prophecy was made by a man who died in 1994.
That's rather stunning. Rather stunning. Thank you for the update.
The so-called scientific community is still pushing the idea that it was through some natural outbreak of this disease. But we must never forget, it was Fauci who said in 2016, while Obama was still president, he said, in the next administration, there's going to be a surprise outbreak. And you can see that you can still see the video. You can read his lips, and you can see him saying that. You can see Bill Gates talking about coronavirus outbreak, and they're preparing for this in May of 2018.
I believe you. Sure, they knew. It's all been planned.
Fauci sends money to Wuhan. This is a classic setup for a false flag. So they can make it appear that the Wuhan Institute of Virology created this virus. But no, they already had the vaccine. The so-called vaccine for this virus was already made in USA by Fauci and company.
Understood.
And they set up Wuhan for the fall the same way that the CIA set up Lee Harvey Oswald for the fall in the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Very good parallel. You understand. You got it. We have to run. Father Kramer, thank you for being here again. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll keep tabs on it. Thank you very much for everything you're doing.
Right on.
All right. Good night. And we will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend and take good care.